when you're recording. Oh, I just got the notice. All right. This is Schlamm County Planning Commission meeting for August 25th, 2021. In response to the governor's proclamation 2028, Planning Commission will hold all of their regular and special meetings via Zoom video conference until further notice. First thing we'll do is take attendance and see who is currently here. Vicki Malloy. I know you're here. It says connecting to audio. I'll come back to you. Ryan Kelso.
Here.
Jim Newberry. Will Wiggs.
I'm here.
Joel Walensky.
Here.
Ed Martinez.
Here.
Doug England.
Here.
Carl Blum is here. And we're still waiting. I see Vicki is here, but she's connecting to audio. And Vicki, you may have to re-sign in or something. Okay. Not sure what to do with Miss Vicki there. But
while we're waiting, I have a point of information, Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just curious because I'm in a lot of other organizations that actually do Robert's Rules of Order. And yes. Always there is the first two steps is basically to approve the agenda. We don't have that step. Why is that?
Well, the agenda is developed by the executive staff to the Planning Commission. And I don't think it's a requirement to approve the agenda. It isn't in the Board of Commissioners that I'm aware of.
Interesting. Okay.
And you have to remember, we're a regularly scheduled meeting. We're not a one-time session. Our sessions continue on. Jim, do you have anything to say about it?
Well, I think you're substantially correct. The main issue is the agenda is really driven by the docket and the docket progress and the things that we are charged with. We in the department are charged with figuring out how to pace and bring things to you that have been assigned to us by the board in their approval of the docket. So, and then the format of the agenda has been baked in forever, so you couldn't really change the format. So, I mean, I guess you could decide to put some additional new business or something on, but when we get to new business, you have the ability to introduce that at that time anyway.
Interesting. So, okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
I understand the Robert's Rules of Order. It's just that the agenda is being handed to you. It's driven by the docket process.
Okay. We've seen essentially positions taken, especially with the SDR regarding process, process issues that invalidated an entire year's worth of work. I just wanted to make sure that this could never be excused out as something that's not part of Robert's Rules of Order. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. Fair with me.
That's fine. Thank good. You. Vicki Malloy, are you on? Vicki Malloy. Still not hearing her. Okay.
I'm here.
Yay. Okay, good. So you're here. Excellent. Let's move on to the minutes of the last meeting. Do we have any deletions, corrections, additions to the minutes? Hearing none, we will consider them
approved. To approve. This is Joel.
Yeah, hi Joel. Well, what I started doing is because in the regularly scheduled session of a meeting, back to Robert's Rules of Order, if there are no corrections or additions to the minutes, then they can be approved by the voice of the chair.
Gotcha.
Same with the adjournment. And so that's how I intend to do this unless somebody tells me I'm completely wrong. So we'll consider the minutes approved. as written. Next order of business is public comment period. Is there anybody that is here that would like to make a comment? We will give you 2 minutes to speak. And that looks like it would be only one person, Kelly Medina, but I bet she's here for something else. Hearing none, before we move into old business, let me just ask the commissioners if you would bear with me in focusing on the agenda and the issues at hand. And I love talking with each one of you, which I think we could probably do after the meeting has adjourned. But the staff is here after their normal work hours. And so we don't need to extend their time with any discussions that might not be relevant to the issues at hand. So please bear with me as we go through that process. Next item, I think, is old business, and I'm going to turn it over to who? Catherine? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good evening, commissioners. Tonight, we have a comprehensive plan amendment workshop. So this is a continuation of our discussion from last month. And this is really just to introduce the amendments. You will hear from the applicants and the public once this is scheduled for public hearing. So this is just an opportunity for us to give you kind of a prelude into what will be coming for public hearing. I am here with Jamie Strother, our senior planner, and she is going to be so kind as to share the screen and help us move through the PowerPoint.
Ooh. I'm getting there, I promise.
I think you can just minimize off to the right that little arrow so we get a little more of the screen.
I'm trying. It's not.
Keep coming down. There's a little carrot right in the middle.
Right there, Jamie, I'm pointing to it. Can't you see it?
It's right in the middle of the slide on the right-hand side. You see a little black carrot.
Ah. Got it.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right. And you can move to the next slide, please.
Okay.
So, commissioners, last month we talked a little bit about your tentative schedule. So here we are at August 25th, we're doing the comp plan amendment workshop. And then in the months going forward, we anticipate we will be bringing some code amendments to your September meeting and also doing a workshop on the Chelan code and comprehensive plan amendments. You did get a preliminary report from us for the Wenatchee UGA amendments. And just to help you, you know, get your an opportunity to start looking through that. The timing of all of these kind of depend on just how much we can get produced. Some applicants weren't ready this month for code amendments, so that's why you'll see them in September or October. And just as we figure out our noticing requirements, meeting SEPA timelines for people to comment, you know, that's why we call it a tentative schedule. So it, it'll be fluid, but we're just going to keep moving things forward. And as I said, once it's scheduled for a hearing, the comprehensive plan amendments in which we're targeting October, that is when you'll hear from the applicants and also members of the public. Could you go to the next slide, please? And as we talked last year, you all know that our comprehensive plan is our long-term vision. And it's the Planning Commission who is charged with reviewing and making recommendations on amendments to the plan. So in the spring, as Jim mentioned earlier, We assemble a docket of amendments, and we also receive applications from members of the public or property owners who are also interested in proposing changes. And then by as we move to the end of the year, we bring all those changes forward for consideration. So tonight is just a workshop. Staff has not completed our review, and we are not asking for any action this evening. All right, so next slide, please. Okay, the first one we'll be looking at is CPA 21-070, and this is a map amendment request. Next slide, please. All right, so these are four properties, a total of almost an acre in size, all four of them. And this is on Wapato Way and Henry Gray Street, you can see are to the south. The request is to go from the urban residential 3 to downtown commercial. And both of these districts' land use classifications are within the Manson urban growth area. So the current designation has a maximum density of about 12 units per acre. And under the downtown commercial, we don't have a minimum lot size if sewer is available. And you can see the lots share a boundary with property that is zoned downtown commercial. So downtown commercial is more of a, is more of a kind of a mixed of retail, commercial, housing is ideally located on second stories or upper stories. And that is to foster a more lively retail street environment at the pedestrian level. Also relative to this site is there are some commercial buildings to the south that include some public facilities, including a fire department, public library, and the Lake Chelan Reclamation District offices. And the photo is one of the buildings. So all four parcels are currently developed with these fourplexes. All right. Moving along, the next request is for Henderson 21-071, and this is also a map amendment. Next slide, please. So this proposal, actually, Mr. Chair, I would pause a moment. Would you like me to pause after each one and see if there's any questions or move through?
I would appreciate it.
Yeah, okay. I think we should. Yeah,
okay, let's go back.
We probably should do that.
Okay, Jamie, if you could please go back to the last one right before this, yes. So are there any questions or comments that you would like us to be prepared to come back with?
Yes, the chair would like to know why the applicant, and maybe the applicant can speak to us about it, why they chose CD versus CT. It seems that in the past, community development has required that any building in the CD in the Manson UGA must have a business on the first floor. That doesn't seem that it's going to be compatible with this. It does seem that it's very compatible with CT. So I'm asking anyone who can answer that question.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, the applicants will have an opportunity to tell their story when we conduct the public hearing. And I do believe in their packet, in their application, they talk about their request for why they chose CD. Jamie, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add about CT versus CD. I would just comment that that it would simply, in this condition, in this situation, the property would just be non-conforming on the first floor.
Correct. And there is no CT zoning in this vicinity. So it wouldn't be compatible to the surrounding properties. if the property owner requested to zone the property CT rather than CD.
Okay, is it not true that community development has in the past required CD to have businesses down below in the first floor?
If you're building something new.
Well, no. I'm talking about existing buildings, which I, if you like, I can bring one up, or we can at the hearing.
It's not necessary. But
I'm not going to belabor the point, but for staff.
I might be able to add something, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because the building's already there and already has an established use, you'd be changing zoning on the property. And so the established use would be able to continue with what would be a non-conformance down below. Whereas what Jamie said by building new, meaning if you're going to create a new building from zero, even if it's an existing structure, that would be a non-conformance. You would be now in compliance, required to be fully in compliance with that new zoning were it to pass. Does that help?
Yeah, I think it does, but I can also say that there are other buildings in the Manson UGA that have been told to cease and desist using the ground floor in CD as residences versus businesses. So I think that's a little incompatible.
Interesting.
Someone has a young person that is just not happy with being at the meeting.
I am babysitting my grandson for the first time, so I will mute. I was just always afraid on the mute because I can't ever unmute. But is that the case today?
Yeah, it is, Ed, but what you can do is raise your hand and I'll just keep the participant list
okay.
up. And
okay.
The electronic hand come up, I'll unmute you.
All Thank right. you, Ed. I appreciate it. Okay. Well, it's something that I hope that it will be looked at and the applicant and staff will look at. But let's continue. I don't have any more questions about that.
Okay. Yeah. Great question. So if there's nothing more on this one, we will move forward to the next request. All right, so CPA 21-071 Henderson. So this property is 461 acres, and it is located above, you can see above the city of Chelan there. And the request is to go from the RR10 and RR20, and there is some commercial ag off to the west side there that is also included. And the request is to go to rural residential 5 or RR5. So under the proposed RR5, which allows one house per 5 acres, the existing, in comparison to the existing land use designations, which I think you have about, 36, a density of 36 over the 400 acres under the RR5, it would increase the development potential to about 92 lots. So RR5, it provides opportunities for small scale agriculture and other rural development consistent with the rural character in this area. This RR5 can also act as a buffer between resource lands and more intense rural or urban development. You can see around it, you've got some RR5 existing to the south. And then to the north, you just have the similar configurations of the larger lots, some 10, and then some more commercial ag more to the northwest. And the Chelan city limits down there to the south. So this request would result in the loss of commercial ag lands. And as we've discussed in the past, these are considered lands of long-term commercial significance to the county. And then we just have a photo just to give you a feel for some of the terrain up there. It's a pretty large area. So I can't, we took several photos, but I just tried to give you one that's typical of what we're seeing up there. So were there any questions on this one?
Yes, I have a question. This is Vicki. I noticed that the RR10 that is not being adjusted is more located toward the city. Hmm. What is that made up of right now? Is that just undeveloped land or is that orchard property?
That is a very good question.
It is an old orchard that has been pulled out.
Oh, an orchard pulled out, okay. And it is not a commercial. A commercial is AC.
Mm-hmm.
And so it used to be called rural resource, and now it's rural residential. So you're not pulling out ag land of commercial of significance per se because of the RR rating. But I am concerned about what impact development is going to have around the RR10 and RR5 that are not yet developed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. Yes, the commercial ag portion that's part of this request is those two or three parcels up kind of in the northwest. And so those would be the ones that we would consider of long-term commercial significance. But all of our residential, rural residential resource districts do allow agricultural activities.
See, the Commissioner England also has his hand up, and so does Ed Martinez, who I'll unmute.
Does that answer my question?
Okay, I'm going to unmute Ed.
So does the application come in all at once, or can you say just those two portions in the AC are outside of UGA, or will you come back and say for this entire application being it is outside of the UGA because of those two parcels that are in the AC?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, basically we're bringing forward what the applicant's request is. So we don't typically request or propose an alternative to what they're requesting. So we will strive to give you a balanced report that will talk about all the policies that relate to each of the land use classifications that they're looking to change, so that you can weigh which policies you think are appropriate to apply to this request.
So I guess the answer is if they would have to reapply, right?
They would
There's
only
no have, ways that on the fly we can basically say, well, just take those two items out and then, right?
That would be up to the applicant if they chose to withdraw a portion of the request.
Okay, thank you very much. That answers my question.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we will move along then, CPA 21-078, and this is a property in Kashmir. We have 6 acres here, and the photo is looking southeast from Rank Road. So Rank Road is that roadway running on the northern side. So the request is to go from rural residential 5 and rural village. So you can see the existing parcel is in 2 land use categories, and they would like to extend the rural village, the blue, it looks blue on my screen, sorry, southward from its existing boundaries. The properties across Rank Road, those are within Kashmir city limits. So Rank Road currently serves as a boundary and a buffer between city development to the north and the more rural residential land uses on the south. The Kashmir urban growth area is located to the west. So the proposed, and I'll have to ask Jamie to make sure I get my numbers right here. Under the current proposal or existing density, the RR5 and RV, they can do one lot and three lots respectively. And that would increase to a possibility of 10. And I think when she checked the numbers on the 6 acres, it may be more like 21. Is that correct, Jamie?
Correct.
Okay, thank you for that. So as we discussed last year, the rural village land use designation is considered a type 1 LAMRD. And a LAMRD stands for a limited area of more intense rural development. And these are identified throughout the county. They're on lands that have existing development. And the purpose of the LAMRD is to minimize and contain those developed areas within the rural lands. So LAMRDs are rural, they're contained and compact, and a lot, most of them were built before July of 1990. So this request would be essentially asking to increase the LAMRD. Did we have any questions on this comprehensive plan amendment?
I have just one question real quick. One of the pictures you have shows that this entire area is an orchard. Is that still an orchard? Do we know? Your picture is current. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So we went out about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The orchard has been removed was removed quite a while ago.
Yep. Yeah. It's been out for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate you pointing that out, Mr. Chair, because some of our aerial photography that we're able to put into your packet is a little bit dated. So we are also trying to go out and take photos of the site just so you can kind of get the look and right. feel.
Right, I appreciate it, thank you.
All right, the next request is CPA 21-118. And this was actually a map amendment that was initiated by the county. So we are in Malaga. So these two properties combined are about 30 acres and they're just south of the Malaga Alcoa Highway. So the photos that we have here are kind of from in the middle of the property looking south. So the land use change that's proposed would go from RR5 to rural industrial, and it would extend the rural industrial land use westward from its existing boundary. And then you can see across the street or just in the area, we have industrial, we have agriculture, and we have residential uses. So there is some rural industrial across to the north, and then it also transitions then to the RR20. And then to the east is rural industrial, to the south is RR20, and then to the west is RR5, which is what these parcels are currently designated. And as you can imagine, rural industrial is a designation that provides opportunity for development, redevelopment, and infill of existing rural industrial developments and former industrial sites, which would be consistent with our rural character. RI is also considered a type 1 LAMRD. So as we discussed on the last one, these are areas of, they're identifying areas of more intense existing development. And these areas are minimized and contained to those developed areas within the rural lands. Were there any questions about this request?
Catherine?
Yes.
From your pictures there, it looks like that's an orchard. Why is the county wanting to reduce the farming of those orchards there to turn into industrial property?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. So my understanding, and I know when we have our economic development director will be here for the public hearing. I think these are lands that the property owners are interested in transitioning out of farming. So these properties are becoming available, which would help with the assembly of a group of parcels for future, to attract future industrial users and investment in the county. So I think it's kind of part of a trying to assemble a bank of lands that would position us to be able to attract industrial users.
Is there not already significant use by looking at some of these maps of space that is that way in that area? And it's been like that for a significant period of time, but yet no development has ever occurred out in that direction. I'm not aware of anything major from my dealings with things of anyone having interest of doing that, those type of items out in that area.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. And I think, you know, Blake will be able to provide more background or more of the policy vision here. But you bring up, and you bring up a very good point. That is something you need to think about, is how much industrial land is appropriate, and is this a great location for it? You know, is this where you want to see that type of development occur?
Do we know, is there any active industrial use in the RI now?
I believe some of these lands do have smaller users on them. I know the PUD also has a facility down here. I just can't quite recall if it's on industrial or not.
Okay.
But we can bring you a little better picture uses in the facility. I think that's a great question.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So the last thing that we gave you was an item that we had already discussed last month, but I went ahead and put it in your packet. And that was 21-084 about the climate resilience strategies. So you had a presentation on, and a workshop last month for that. Yeah, you can leave it here, Jamie. Thank you. And as we discussed last month, many of the added and amended policies that Lisa shared with you would not represent a change in county policy, but rather an opportunity to synthesize those existing policies and plans into the comprehensive plan. So in your packet, that's why we went ahead and attached again at attachment 5 is the matrix and the proposed text amendments. So when we come back for hearing again, it's just kind of to give you a preliminary review so you know what's coming. So with that, we will be scheduling and noticing public hearings coming up, and then we will publish a staff report and a packet for you. So starting in September, you will probably have a blend of workshop and public hearings, and that'll be your September 22nd meeting. And ultimately, you will be asked at that time to take action. And that's when we'll be looking for a recommendation to either approve or deny the requests. And you'll have an opportunity to hear testimony from the applicants and from the public. So I think, unless you have any other questions, that is all we have for you today.
I've got additional questions, if it's okay. I didn't raise my hand.
Go ahead, Becky.
I'm back at the Chelan County Climate Policy integration for the climate resiliency. I just want to make sure there's some language here that leads us to believe that there is going to be some,
Jamie, you know, you can stop sharing.
Okay.
What?
Sorry. I'm sorry, Vicki. I apologize.
Okay. Okay. So things like on that protect water quality and quantity, consider varying regulations for each WIRA. This is on the second page of the proposal that you presented to us at last meeting.
Okay.
Or sub-basin based on water quantity or quality concerns. In the comprehensive plan, there should be no regulations or requirements. It's just a thought process.
Okay.
Or a direction we want to take. They also talked in here about tracking exempt wells, which sounds like there is some action to be taken through this plan that is concerning because of the potential harm it could cause in the long run by having too much information available to the state agencies that could propose strong regulations. I yellowed a bunch of areas I'm looking through. On page 9 of your deal, leverage funding with partners and facilitate proper placement of facilities that collect local climate data, including precipitation, wind velocity, da 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 da. Okay, under that, where the rationale is, it says the county could support federal and state agencies adding stream gauges, weather stations, SNOTEL, and other facilities on public lands, including forest lands. And I'm concerned about that being a part of our comprehensive plan. I may not be making sense, but when I was reading through this, those are the things that jumped out at me that I was very concerned about, and just wanted to make sure that this whole thing is about proposing solutions should things happen, not adding regulations.
Thank you, Commissioner. Was that policy NS 1.4?
Yeah.
That the one you were reading? Okay.
That's one of them. Yeah.
Okay.
So Catherine, you will take that on as when you do present this in your staff report, that you'll look at addressing those questions.
Yes, and I will share those with Lisa from Burke Consulting, sure, who has sure been assisting with this. So
thank you.
Thank you for pointing those out.
As well as I, Commissioner Kelso, I've been reading through it and just some of the items, the way they're written, it looks like to me that this will lead to growing some element of the county or the government to start regulating and doing other factors down the line. And I adamantly oppose that occurring.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Okay, very good. Then if there's no more old business, well, there is. It says update on in-person meetings, which I was going to ask about at the end, but it's under old business. So, Jim, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. We don't have a plan to restart meetings anytime soon, given the spike in COVID issues in the Valley and the fact that the technology, well, let me back up. Therefore, if we were going to do something, at best, it would be a hybrid initially, which would still require meeting room technology to be able to have this kind of a scenario where part of it's in the room and part of it's online. And the technology for the remodel in the commissioner's conference room is on back order. So even when we have commissioner meetings with them right now, they can see the people on the screen, the way it's set up, people who are testifying on Zoom. But if I'm there testifying at the counter, I can't see anything because they don't have the screen that's supposed to be behind them that I can see. And so they don't have all the cameras they have and microphones they need set up. And so having done now both from in there and in the, there people will be talking and you can't hear what they're saying. So there's that. And so because of the COVID issue still driving this, we don't feel that we can do that. There was a, it was floated as a possible alternative to do something in a district courtroom, but then that attaches all new concerns about security for the courthouse in general that we would have to open up in order to access that courtroom, which would potentially require more staff for me just to make sure we can corral people and keep them from wandering the halls in the place. So that doesn't seem to be a good solution either. So we're on hold until we get the technology thing figured out at least. And then unless COVID just all of a sudden evaporates, it may initially anyway start out as some sort of a hybrid option. Does that help?
Yes. Okay, I appreciate it. All right. Under new business, we have none unless someone needs to bring something up. And while you're thinking about that, I will ask, let's see, has there been a person named to replace Pat Hammersmith?
I believe that Commissioner Gehring has settled on at least down to two people, and she was going to be making a proposal by resolution to the full Board of Commissioners, but I don't know exactly who that is, and we had a brief discussion about it during session on Tuesday, but she wasn't there. She was unfamiliar with the process. She was waiting for me to do something and didn't understand that it was actually back in her court. So
okay.
Now she knows that. I would expect you'll hear something in the next week or so.
Okay, good. In terms of the past commissioners' meetings and land use business, there's been very little that I've heard. I believe you settled on a hearing next month to correct an error in the STR code, is that correct?
There's a Scrivener's error in that when we provided for a delay for people to comply with certain aspects of the standards, particularly as you recall, I'm sure, the task force really focused on signs and parking, that, for example, they would have a year and then other things, 90 days. We forgot to put in, it was referenced by discussion, so it was in the record, but I didn't type it in, that all the other standards that weren't under those two timelines are immediate, such as occupancy. So simply by having omitted or failing to translate what was being said in session, add that one word that created that all standards not mentioned by that 90-day cutoff would fall under a year. And that would mean that we'd have a full year before occupancy, noise, trespass, those kinds of big things that I think everybody can agree on both sides of the issue in the board was never the intent to waive that for a year.
Okay.
So we're having a hearing to fix that. And then today it's separate. It's not a Scrivener error and it doesn't need to come in front of the Planning Commission because it's Title III and it's not a development regulation. We haven't changed the fee structure, but we restructured that fee table that accompanied that decision to make it more usable, readable, and consistent. So we didn't change any of the fees. We changed some titles of things, eliminated some lines because there were things that were the same fee for the same thing for a tier two, but a different aspect in the process. And just simply by changing the text on one line, we could eliminate a line. So the fee table shrunk by about 30% by doing that. So it'll be easier to use. And these are the kinds of things you find when you start working on implementation. So as we are doing implementation planning and we're looking at, okay, what do they need to apply for? What are the fees? How do we charge them? And you have a fresh set of eyes besides mine looking at the code. You go, this makes no sense. Or why do we have a duplication of wording? So those are the two things that'll be going forward here in the next few weeks.
Great. Okay, Is there any, did anybody come up with any new business at all? Okay, we have completed the agenda and yes, go ahead.
If I could, back on the initial comment about the rules, Robert's Rules of Order, I think you can adopt an agenda, but you're not required to. The problem that it's not usually done is because once you adopt an agenda by simple majority, you can only change it by two-thirds majority. And people start feeling that you're trying to ramrod something through. If something comes up at the meeting that needs to be discussed, that isn't required to be noticed, you can't do it unless two-thirds. So it's just an added procedure. It's not required to do to adopt an agenda.
Okay. That's a good point. Very good. All right. If there's no further business, then we will call the meeting adjourned. Next meeting is September 22nd at 7 o'clock, I believe. And thank you to the staff and thank you for everyone for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. You guys too.
Wendy, you can stop recording, I guess.